Thank you. You may be seated. Welcome to each and every one of you this Thanksgiving morning, and as things are different this year, we wish you God's grace and peace as we share as a faith community together. Just like to scan a few of the announcements. I know you don't have bulletins, but if you have access to the internet, you can download that there, or I know a good number of you receive this by mail, which for this particular service will be coming, I believe, is it later this week or next week?
Wednesday.
That'll be going on. As part of our service this morning, which we are not celebrating here, being Thanksgiving Sunday, we traditionally have communion service. There is, for those of you who received the snail mail version, it should have been a week and a half ago that you received a copy of that in the mail. And for those online, there will be a video service of that added to the internet version of our service. But to share a time of thanksgiving in remembrance of Christ, a communion service is included with our service. Take a few moments, a few other announcements, just to remind you. For all the challenges that we have in our daily lives dealing with the COVID pandemic, we want to express appreciation to the extra volunteers and the regular volunteers who make our worship services possible. The people upstairs in the balcony doing the technical end, but also our ushers, and many others who have stepped forward to help us to share as a faith community, particularly during these times. Just take note, I won't mention specific names, but a number of our church members needing health care in hospital, and a couple of others at home, and so the reminders in our bulletin for those prayers. Included with our Thanksgiving bulletin, again, either by snail mail or the email version, there is a listing of seniors. It's somewhat subjective. We're not always sure of each and every individual case, but particularly those who are not able to worship with us regularly. For myself, I print out a copy of this and keep it in my Bible as a prayer reminder for those who are not visually here with us on a regular basis. So that's included with the bulletin. Also, following the service, Pastor Nick has prepared a number of reflection questions based on the message this morning. We invite you to partake of that. And then just a reminder, next Sunday, our in-person worship service, October 18th, will be a 10 o'clock seniors generation service for us next week. Just to note that. Other announcements there, please make reference in the bulletins and whichever version you have and respond accordingly. Thank you again for your continued financial support during these days. The church ministries continue in various ways. We've had to change how we do things in some ways. There are other aspects of the church that simply continue as they have. I hope you were able to see the video prior to the service from Niagara Christian Gleaners. The ministry of drying extra produce that they do, collected primarily from farmers in the area. And if you could check that out, Mennonite Central Committee is one of many agencies that receive this food for relief purposes and also emergency services. So it's a tremendous ministry right here in Niagara. We also thank you if you participate with the barrels of donations of food for community care. The barrel is in the foyer, and there are other venues to support our local food bank area. In our service this morning, we invite you to reflect on Psalm 145, and I share these verses as an opening prayer for us. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Amen. More music, and today we include the song, Holy We Praise Thy Name, Holy God We Praise Thy Name. On the screen, I believe verse 1 will be in English, verses 2 and 3 in German, and verse 4 in English again. And follow along, hum as you are able. Thank you, Trudy, for that ministry of music and leading us in thoughtful prayer. I invite you to bow with me. Gracious God, during these days, it's been difficult at times to be thankful. When we're not able to share as families and community as we would like, especially to be together. Yet we have food. We have access to health care. We have supports to enable life. We have unique opportunities for these days, especially to share in the lives of others, at times having to use creativity in ways and manners we've not had before. In the midst of this, we give you thanks because you are a gracious and loving God. Gracious God, we long for your grace when the restrictions and limitations cause frustration. We call for your wisdom when misunderstandings and suspicions make us doubtful. We long for your peace. When the challenges of these days give us sleepless nights, we thank you for the community of faith, for gathering us together even when we need to keep our distance. We share as people who long for Jesus, who seek to follow him in our daily lives, who long for the day when we be reunited with the saints who have gone before us. Prepare our hearts as we share communion with one another when we can't necessarily be together. We share our faith in Jesus, which unites us in remembrance of him. Bless our time together. Be with Pastor Nick as he shares from your word. And may your grace provide what we need for the living of these days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Another familiar song of faith. Now thank we all our God, also in the German, Nun dankend allet God, and the verses will be on the screen as Trudy leads us.
If you happen to have been here, it's a bit trickier here with the mask on, the mask off, and we make do. If you happen to have been here last week or listened along to Paul Adams' sermon, you might remember that in addition to a wonderful, uplifting, encouraging message on Philippians 3, he challenged me to run 10K, and I said I'd report back. I don't know why I said that. It'll be a while before I get there, but I did do this week. Up on the screen there, my longest run to date, which I'm proud of. That time, if you can see it, might look somewhat impressive, but it doesn't show all the times that I had to stop and catch my breath. So we'll get there slowly and surely. And I was a bit out of shape because for a couple weeks before this, I was preparing for this, which you can see up there on the slide right now. Two Saturdays ago, I cycled 100 miles as a fundraiser for Mennonite Central Committee, which is celebrating 100 years this year. Lots of stops to catch my breath. Not the greatest time, but a wonderful ride, and glad to support a wonderful organization as well. Somebody asked me this week if I would consider riding 101 miles next year, and I quickly said no. So, I would invite you to pray with me. God, may the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for today comes from Philippians 4, verses 10 to 20. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at the last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in wants. I can do this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more credits be credited to your accounts. I receive full payments and more than enough. Have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you have sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glories in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. When it comes to packing for day hikes or camping trips, my wife Megan and I have something of a standing disagreement. I'm of the opinion that we can usually get by with packing less. She, on the other hand, tends to think that we need more. We usually come to more or less reasonable middle grounds. Maybe some of you can relate to this. One trip in particular has come to go down in history for us and has come up ever since in some of these conversations. It took place several summers ago while we were visiting her family in British Columbia. We had planned this overnight hiking trip up a mountain north of Whistler. It would be my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and myself. Meg wasn't coming with, but she wanted to make sure I took enough water with me. She felt that I should take a lot of water, just in case. As one who would be carrying the water, however, I felt that not a lot of water would be a better option in this case. But she was insistent, and so a thorough search of the house was completed, with every bottle that could be found filled to the brim and placed inside of my pack. In the world of backcountry camping, there's a saying. It's often been attributed to Yvon Chouinard, a rock climber, environmentalist, and founder of the clothing brand Patagonia. He said, or as at least is believed to have said, that the more you know, the less you need. The more you know, the less you need. In an article for Outside magazine, one writer described this principle like this. When you don't know, you pack everything just in case. The more experience you acquire, however, the more things you can eliminate from your pack. Maybe you realize, this writer goes on, that you always pack rain pants, but you've rarely worn them. And there's no point in packing your tent in the bag it came in, or that when you have a tent and a sleeping bag, you probably don't need to carry a space blanket. The more you know, the less you need. That, as the saying goes, is one of the secrets to traveling light when it comes to through hiking or backcountry camping. That, I would suggest, is also the secret to being content that Paul shares about in these verses. The secrets of being content in this long-distance journey of faith, Paul writes, is that the more you know, the less you need. The more that you come to know Jesus, the less you need. The The more that you come to know and come to experience God's provision in your life, the less you need. The more that you come to know and can learn from and rely on this community of fellow travelers, the less you need. The more you know, the less you need. It's a good reminder, because all too often in life, I think we end up putting too much in our packs. This can happen for reasons that are innocent enough at first, I think. We do, after all, need certain things to live. We do, after all, need certain essentials, like water, that we need in order to survive. But we can easily also be led into thinking that we need more than we actually end up needing in life. Like it is when it comes to those preparations for camping, we might feel anxious about finding ourselves in a situation in life where we don't have something that we need. And so we try to pack everything just in case. We might do this in our lives by saving diligently and spending sparingly. Or we might feel the need to do the opposite, in accumulating as much as we can and holding on to it all, just in case. And again, some of those can be important and wise things to do in good measure. But like all the unnecessary supplies that unseasoned campers can bring, it can also end up weighing us down sometimes, maybe even slowing us down. It can cause you injury and pain to carry it all even. It can sometimes even keep you from completing your trek, being too heavy to carry on. The more you know, the less you need. And according to this outdoor advice columnist, the more experience you acquire, the more you can eliminate. The more times you get out in the woods, the better sense you have of what's truly required and what's redundant. If we're going to make the connection again, we might say that the more experience you live through as a disciple of Jesus, the more you come to understand what is truly necessary and what's not. This is a lesson that a lot of us learn over time, I think. Perhaps especially as we carry on into our later years. I've learned this from a lot of elderly folks especially. The longer you go on in life, the more items you might find yourself taking out of your pack. And leaving behind or giving away. You just don't need it anymore. You can get by fine without it. Part of the reason for that, I think, is that the longer you go through life, the more likely it is you'll have had times when you've not had a whole lot on your back to survive off of, but you've managed to make it through fine all the same. So you come to know that much of the time you can get by just as well with a little as you can with a lot. That was Paul's experience as he shares it here as well with the Philippian Christians. I know what it is to be in need, he writes, and I know what it is to have plenty, and so I've learned to be content either way. Whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in wants, I'm content. And it's that contentment that sets the tone for the verses that follow, in which Paul thanks this church for their financial support of his ministry. From what we read, we know that a collection had been taken among the members in this church community. We read that money was then brought back to Paul while he was in prison by this messenger named Epaphroditus. We see that Paul is outspoken in his gratitudes to the church for their assistance, especially during this time of needs. Here he thanks them repeatedly in these closing paragraphs of this letter. He thanks them again and again and again. But he does so very carefully, wanting to make sure that he is not misunderstood here. I want to thank you for your gifts, he tells them, but it's not that I desire them. Please understand that. With everything you've sent me, I'll be fine. It's important for Paul to do this because, as with today, there's no shortage of preachers and public speakers who traveled around then and put on a show for the sake of a paycheck. People who are clearly motivated by making money than they were of any true sense of ministry. And so he carefully distances himself from the televangelist and traveling salesman types of his day. Thank you, he tells them. Thank you from the depths of my heart for all you've given. But please know that I'm not trying to pass the plate around a second time here. It's right for you to support the work of the kingdom, but I'm not in this for any reward other than that God has called me to it. Paul, he says, will carry on his labor regardless. For now, he tells them, he's well fed, been amply supplied by what they had sent to him. But he wants to be clear that he's not seeking anything more from them, and that even if they were no longer able to assist him, he would persevere in his service to God and God's church. Because he's come to know Christ. Because that is the secret to contentment. That the more you know, the less you need. So Paul could do the hike, so to speak, with a 50-pound pack stocked with everything he could possibly need. Or he could do it with a little 10-liter day pack with only the barest of necessities. The contentment that he discovered in Christ allowed him to carry on faithfully either way. He's done it in both sets of circumstances, both in times of plenty and both in times of wants. And he could do this, he wrote, because of Christ who gives him strength. That contentment allowed him to receive at what he had been given and truly be grateful for it without having to chase it down and look for more. That's the definition of contentment. And that contentment allowed him to travel light. Because while he knew what it was to have an abundance to work with, he also discovered that what it means to be at peace and press on, even if he did not. And so it's no longer necessary for him to pack heavy. So many of us will know this, I think, from our experiences, our lives. When you've lived through both famine and feast, you can receive the gift of a good meal and be grateful for it when you have it, but make do just as well most days by eating from a simple plate. In the letter to the Hebrews, we're told that we'll be content because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The more you know, the less you need. In the end, we didn't need to haul liters and liters of water up the mountain that day. True to the saying, the more I would have known, the less I would have needed for that camping trip. If I had known we could drink the water from the pristine glacier-filled lake, we wouldn't have bothered with all of that silly camel business on the way up. If I had known that my father-in-law, while packing separately, had brought purification tablets, or remembered that if we were truly in a pinch, we could have boiled water on our camping stove, I wouldn't have weighed myself down that day. Of course, that isn't to say that Meg hasn't balanced out my tendency to go off on adventures solely underprepared and underpacked at other times. She can share embarrassing accounts where she's come and bailed me out of situations having done so. You can, after all, take this to the opposite extreme, I think, as well, to the point that it gets you into trouble, to the point where just as much as overloading in your life, it can end up disrupting and distracting from your life's journey and your life's work. All the same, I believe it does go to show and illustrate the wisdom of that saying. The more you know, the less you need. The Bible has lots of different things to say about property, possessions, and finances. A good deal of it has to do with traveling light in a spirit of gratitude, trust, and contentment. As he prepared the way for Jesus, for example, John the Baptist told people to pack just one shirt for the journey instead of two and give the other away. Jesus, when he sent off the 12 disciples, gave them similar instructions. Take no replacement clothing or footwear for your trip. No second bag or second walking stick. Just what you're wearing. In the letters to the Hebrews, again, we're told to ditch all that extra weight, throwing off everything that hinders us as we go on. And in his letter to Timothy, Paul says that if we have food and if we have clothing, we'll be content with that. It can start to sound a lot like the sort of advice that's shared about that ultralight backcountry camping. And so for many of us, it can also start to sound about as appealing as ultralight camping, which is to say not appealing at all. I'll take the bigger, warmer sleeping bag instead of that thin, lightweight thing, we might say, or the nice French press for my coffee rather than the Ziploc bag full of instant grounds, or better yet, I'll take a nice bed and breakfast with running water, with hot water. That sounds better. When we got up to the top of the mountain lake that evening, that lake with all the beautiful water we could drink, I stood and looked out at the beautiful blue, taking it all in. And then I suddenly found myself laughing at what I saw. In addition to a few hikers who had waded out there into the water, There was a woman sitting in a big inflatable raft. I did a double take and I looked a bit closer and saw that she had a glass in her hand and she was drinking something. This person had hiked up for hours and hours up this mountain, and on top of her tents and all of her camping gear and food, she had brought a boat and a box of wine. And I suddenly felt a little less exhausted and embarrassed, having carried up as much water to drink as I did. In that article in Outside Magazine, the writer says this. He says, you can have a really, really light pack or be really, really comfortable, but not both. Maybe there's a kind of spiritual wisdom in that for us as well. Maybe a kind of challenge also. Because if comfort is what we're looking for in life, the tendency is going to be to heap more things on that pile and try to haul more things along. To bring a boat and a box of wine. Because why not? If comfort is what's driving us rather than a call to God's work and a spirit of Christ-centered contentment, we're going to end up weighing ourselves down. You can have a really, really light pack or be really, really comfortable, but not both. In the end, I believe there's joy in traveling lights. It's not easy. Lord knows it's not easy at all, and it can be incredibly tempting most days to pack differently. But there's a kind of holy satisfaction in it. It allows you to move more freely, I believe, and to travel longer. It allows you to walk in a spirit of trust. It allows you to ask what's truly essential in life, what's most important and most necessary, and to unpack the rest and leave it at home, or better yet, to give it away. Discovering that gift of contentment allows us to discover the gift of gratitude in a way that we otherwise wouldn't be able to. In discovering the gift of contentment, we're able to truly be thankful for what we have without feeling the need to chase it down and look for more. We have food on the table and clothing on our backs. We'll be content with that. And we're able, in finding that contentment, to move forward, continuing to give thanks and continuing to trust that we'll have what we need for the trail ahead. In his letter, Paul shared words of thanksgiving with the Philippian church for their support of the work of God's kingdom. So I wonder if it's fitting as well as we conclude this series to thank you for your continued support as well. I say that trying to walk a fine balance that Paul did in his letter. I say that as someone who's benefited in some ways from that during a difficult time, but is by no means begging for anything else. Like those first century Christians, you've given generously during a difficult time, a time of trial. And what you've offered, as Pastor Andy has already shared, has allowed us to continue caring for one another and continuing to serve our community and wider community. What you've offered is, as Paul writes, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So thank you. Thank each of you. We continue to press on through exceptional circumstances these days. In some ways, they might feel like those times of wants that Paul describes, times when we've gone without or gotten by with just a little. And so it's good today, this Thanksgiving Day, to take stock of those times of plenty as well. And as we carry on, may you know that secret that Paul wrote about, that secret of contentment, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in. And may you discover and rediscover the joy of traveling lights, knowing that the more you know, the less you need. Amen. I invite Trudy again to lead us in song.
If you'd like to stand, perhaps we can hum better as we stand, those who are able.
I see that our ushers are already at their places. Following the benediction, they'll lead us out, beginning with those who require assistance, and then on this side with Kevin at the back there. As we go, we seek God's blessing on the rest of our time this Thanksgiving weekend, as well as on our offerings given both here and by other means. I close with these words written by St. Teresa of Avila. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing affright you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patient endurance attains all things. Whom God possesses, in nothing is wanting. God alone suffices. May you go in peace. Amen.